I'm WSB's Mark Arum. Depend on the WSB Breaking News Center
for immediate
breaking news,
severe weather alerts,
or a traffic red alert whenever and wherever they strike.
Immediately accurate
WSB.
Depend on it.
The Mark Arum Show is performed before a live studio audience.
No, I want this town to be near you. No gray skies ever turn blue.
The show and a good Friday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 10:07, 7 after 10. This is the Mark Arum Show, heard Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend ahead. If you do not have plans, you do right now. I want you to go online to AtlantaImprov.com and get tickets for tomorrow night to see my next guest. He's on stage three shows, 8, 10, and midnight. Chris D'Elia from NBC's comedy series Undateable. Chris.
Hey.
Welcome.
D'Elia. Just to get that out there for your listeners.
D'Elia.
Yeah, it's
okay. Is that a stage name or is that your real name?
No, that's my real name. D'Elia would be the stage name because that's not right. Yeah.
So you have Italian...
Italian descent.
Italian descent?
Sure.
From where?
Bari, B-A-R-I.
All right.
Well, I don't know, though. You know, I'm from New Jersey, so.
Oh, Jersey. Yeah. Well, I took Italian for 4 years, so I'm like...
And how rusty are you? Can you do it?
Very rusty.
Yeah.
I'm good in restaurants. Like
I can
nail.
Well, you read it and say it. Sure, there you go. You got the accent right. But you can't say D'Elia.
D'Elia.
There you go.
Well, to be fair, I know this is the Americanized apostrophe.
I'm not famous enough.
D'Elia. No, you are famous, dude.
I'm kidding with you.
And totally, your co-star was in here, Brent Morin.
Oh, yeah.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Rave
love
about
that guy.
You.
That guy's great. He's going to shoot his hour special for Netflix like tomorrow, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So,
so New York. Undateable on NBC. He tipped us off that you are now doing this live.
It's live.
That's
yeah.
insane.
I know it is actually. I don't know. We did it live one time last year, and it was so fun. And I think NBC and the producers kind of got a whiff of how much fun we had, and they were like, and they also had fun as well. So they were like, let's just do it live, like Saturday Night Live.
That's a ton of pressure, my
friend.
It's
a ton of pressure, but you know, we have four comedians on the show, so we're used to that. There is a difference between a 300-seat comedy club and 5 million people who are going to see it in America. But we don't really think about that when we're doing it. But it's a lot of fun. We're barely professionals, so we will mess up. Mm-hmm. But it's also like a lot more work, you know, because we need to prepare.
I understand the mess-up part. That's going to happen. That's part of the charm
sure.
of
yeah,
the
it is.
Live
yeah, yeah,
show.
Yeah.
But for something like... When I do this radio show, it's live and unscripted and obviously,
right.
but occasionally my gutter mouth will slip up and I will say something I shouldn't, but we have a 7-second delay where the producer can hit the button and done. Do you have any kind of safety
net? The only thing that we have is we have that, where there's like a few second delay, but then they got to shut it down.
Yeah.
You know, so and we're live, and basically what they'll do is they'll hit the thing, the buzzer, and it will go quiet for like, it covers like, you know, half a minute, so you lose the storyline.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Kidding, yeah,
yeah.
So have you? I mean, are you, in your day to day life? Are you a guy that cusses a lot?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's even more pressure.
Yeah, but I mean, I can turn it off, but you know, obviously, you got lines you got to say.
Yeah.
So and the F word isn't in any of them. but yeah.
So how did you wind up on this show, Undateable?
They just offered it to me after Whitney. They wanted me to play the role, and I actually didn't want to do another sitcom, a multi-camera sitcom, but it was just funny, and I just want to do what's funny, and it keeps me in town in LA. It keeps me in town, and my friends were working on the show as well, so it was kind of a win-win, and I'm so glad I did it, man. I'm having such a good time.
Chris D'Elia,
you got it,
in studio. He's on NBC's hit comedy series Undateable, which will be live. And I've already told the listeners when Brent came in, you got to DVR this thing. You got to watch it. This is groundbreaking stuff.
I'm very
excited about this.
It's
and
fun.
I'm not even, I don't watch network TV that
much. Yeah, I get it, dude. There's not many things on network that, because cable's killing it,
exactly.
man. And they just, you know, they can say what they want and do what they want. So something's got to give on network TV. And I think this live thing is really kind of pushing the envelope. So it's
cool. Let me ask you that. Speaking of, this is totally random.
Yeah.
Your favorite television shows of all time. If you were, you know, on a desert island, blah, 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 you can pick five shows. What are you taking with
you?
That's
a good question. I don't know. I mean, I love drama stuff just because my whole world is comedy, mm-hmm. you know? I loved The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. I loved... I like stuff like Dexter, you know, okay. where it's like there's a guy, killer trying to get away from somebody. I like that kind of a thing.
The reason I bring it up is because one of my favorite shows of all time is Deadwood on HBO.
Oh, you know, I never saw that. I was never into that. I know everyone says how good it is, but I just never caught it, you know. But I heard they might make a movie.
That's what I was, the last couple of days there's been, Milch was the producer, creator. And there's been rumors going from some of the actors that are actually on the show that they're talking about bringing it back
for
a couple of movies, which to me, I'm not going to be the millionth guy to say to watch it, but I was like you. I didn't see it the first time, but I caught up on demand.
Well, it's still on the HBO Go, right?
Yeah,
I got to check it out because I hear it's great.
It is probably the greatest thing ever done in a...
Because I'm not really into that Western stuff.
No, me neither.
But all right.
Absolutely not.
Right.
The character Al Swearengen, played by, I forgot his name now, Ian...
That's the older guy with the mustache?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like that guy just the way he looks. Unbelievable. I like his face.
And he's now, that guy, the actor, is now on Ray Donovan.
I see that guy in everything, though.
Yeah.
And, he's a good actor.
And he's going to be on Game of Thrones, so I just want... Sorry to get sidetracked there.
No, it's okay. Anyway, come to the Improv. So, they might make a Deadwood movie, so come see me at the Atlanta Improv. Saturday night, three shows.
8th, 10th, and they just added a 12th because you're so popular.
Yeah. Well... If you say so.
What popped the popularity bubble for you when you really, you know, realized, oh, this thing is working for me?
It was kind of a gradual thing. Mm-hmm. I now there's so many outlets that you can be seen on. Like I really worked hard. I don't want to say worked, but it was fun. But just the social media presence of it all, and then being on TV obviously helps. Mm-hmm. But really, the thing that will drive people to see you, I was just talking about this in the car to nobody, just out loud. But. is people need to know you're a comedian. And so I worked really hard on just hitting the clubs and doing the road and just that whole grassroots live thing that people that sells tickets. That makes you sell the shows out.
Sure.
You know, if you're on TV, people will come see you kind of, but it's but if you're doing a different thing. If you're an actor, they're not necessarily going to see you come do stand up. So like I had videos that kind of went viral. Like I had this drunk girl video that was aired on Comedy Central where I would make fun of. It was like a bit I did in my act about how making fun of drunk girls when they get drunk girls, and that got on YouTube and it went very viral. And that kind of helped me. People were like, oh, who's this guy? And then they would look at my other stuff. And then when I come in town, oh yeah, oh, this is a comedian. And then they know about Undateable or Whitney or, you know, the social. Oh, that's the guy I saw on Instagram. Stuff, yeah. That really helps. You got to kind of work all the angles now.
Chris D'Elia?
D'Elia. No, he did that for a joke, guys.
I did not, I promise you. Chris D'Elia in studio here. He's at the Improv this weekend, Saturday, three shows, 8, 10, and 12. All right, so you're a Jersey kid. Yeah. How long you been out in L.A.?
Well, I moved when I was 12.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it was... I'm an L.A. guy, I feel like, yeah. I still have my accent a little bit, I think, but especially when I'm screaming, but but yeah, I'm an L.A. dude.
So give me. I'm very familiar with the comedy scene on the East Coast. I've never been to comedy clubs on the West Coast. Has there ever been a moment when you're on one of these stages and you look out in the audience and you're like, holy crap, this guy is about to see me or this woman is about to see me?
Oh, yeah.
Give me an example.
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Dude, I had... Okay, I've got two, actually.
Okay.
I had a meeting with Francis Ford Coppola, okay? Like a meeting with him, like where my agents called me and they were like, hey, Francis Ford Coppola is looking to do this. He's looking for like young Italian descent guys. Mm-hmm. And I was like, seriously?
Yeah,
okay, I'll have a meeting. But I had to meet his producer first to, I guess, run it by to see if I could meet Francis Ford Coppola. So... I met the producer who was great, and he was like, hey, you know, you do stand-up, and he was talking about that, and he's like, I'm going to get Francis Ford Coppola to come out and see you, and I was like, right, of course, sure,
yeah,
right, exactly, that's going to happen, which meaning, no, it's not going to happen. And sure enough, a week later, Francis Ford Coppola was in the audience of my show to see me do stand-up. This guy directed The Godfather,
yeah,
you know?
The king.
And so I was like, okay, That was amazing.
Did you know before you went on stage
that he was going to come? My agent told me he was going to come. I was like, oh, he's not going to come.
I wouldn't have told you if I was your agent.
Well, and then I showed up, and he was like, oh, there, he's there. And I did stand up, and he left, and I walked up. I was like, thanks for coming. He was like, thanks. And so there was that. But another one, this is the crazier one, I think. I mean, that was crazy just like because he's an icon and a legend, but so is this guy. Hold on. There's another one, too. There was Paul McCartney.
Wow.
That was there. And then afterwards, I was talking about, I had a bit on old guys I was talking about. And then afterwards, he was like, hey, how are you? He's like, we're not all like that, just so you know. And I was like, yeah, I know, this is a joke. This is so crazy. But this one was the craziest because of the circumstance. Mm-hmm. There was one person in the audience once.
One person.
Okay. With his friend. So two people.
Okay.
But two people. And one of them was Dr. Dre. Okay?
Shut up.
No, this is serious. And it was like 1 o'clock. It was like 12:30, 1 o'clock on like a Sunday or a Monday. It was a Sunday or Monday, I remember. It was one of those nights. Because this is when the potluck at the Comedy Store used to be on. This is before I was on TV, but they were like, you're going to go. I walked in, they were like, you're going to go next. Nobody's here. And I was like, okay. They're like, there's two people in the audience. And I was like, really? Okay. I'll go on, whatever.
Were they sitting near the front?
No, they were in the back. And I was like, fine. And they're like, by the way, one of the guys is Dr. Dre. And I was like, I'm not going on. I'm going to be off. It's set up to fail. And the host was like, hey, man, I know why you don't want to go on because it's Dr. Dre, but you would go on if it wasn't Dr. Dre. So come on, you got to go on. This is what you do. Just go on and talk. I was like, okay. And I went on. And I talked to Dr. Dre.
So you didn't do your set.
I mean, no. You know, what am I going to go, hey, so anyway, you know what I mean? What am I going to ask Dr. Dre where you're from? I know where he's from. And I went on and just talked to him. And, you know, he was not really heckling me, but like giving it to me because why not?
Yeah,
I mean, I would have too. But it was fun, man. I got a picture of him with him afterwards.
That's
and
awesome.
He kind of just, I feel like in my head, this is probably not true, but in my head, I feel like he respected me because I went on, you
sure.
know. And because he was walking out and people were like, can I get a pic? And he was like, you know, very nicely being like, I got to go. And then I was like, hey, Dre, you know, and he turned around and he was like, what's up? And I was like, can I get a pic? And he was like, sure. And he came back and got a pic with me. So, which was very cool.
What an amazing story.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I'm really glad I went on. I let him talk to me.
We got to step away for a second. Can you hang out one more second?
Yeah.
Before we go, tell the folks how they can find you on social media and websites.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter at Chris D'Elia. It's just my name. And then to get tickets, go to the Atlanta Improv website or my website, ChrisD'Elia.com.
ChrisD'Elia.com. All right. We'll be right back. Stick around, Friday edition of the Mark Arum Show. Trying to tell me how I'm on your
mind. See, you never had a... Mark Arum, every night at 10 on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Welcome back. Mark Arum at your beck and call till midnight on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Chris D'Elia.
You got it.
In studio. He's at the Punchline tomorrow night.
No, improv.
Improv.
Yeah.
Punchline is no more.
They don't exist. Because of great clubs like this.
Twice.
I know, it's weird.
10 and 12. All right, I got a question for you. I got a guest coming in after you.
Okay.
He is the guy. Do you ever see the Twilight movies?
I've caught them.
Dad?
Oh, yeah.
And he was also in Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah, yeah.
What should I ask this guy?
He's handsome. What's it like being so handsome?
What's it like being so handsome?
Yeah.
Done. I'll do it.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I want to know. Ask you. Tell him Chris D'Elia asked that.
Chris D'Elia wants to know why you're so handsome. All right. I'll give you executive producer credit on the show tonight.
Please.
All right. Follow him on Instagram, Twitter, and the website.
Yes.
ChrisD'Elia.com. But definitely go to AtlantaImprov.com. Buy your tickets. Three shows tomorrow night, 8, 10,
we just 12. Added the midnight one, so come there.
Very cool. Thanks so much for coming in, man. Best of luck with Undateable.
Thank you.
I am very excited. I'm more excited for this than any series I've seen on a network in quite some time.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, man. We're excited, too.
All right. News, weather, and traffic next. This is the Mark Arum Show.
I'm WSB's Herman Cain, and depend on this
whenever and wherever
there's breaking news,
severe weather alert,
or a traffic red alert. The WSB 24-Hour Breaking News Center will tell you about it.
News 95.5 and AM 750.
WSB, depend on it.
The Mark Arum Show is fortified with 8 essential vitamins and minerals.
In the 18 years I've been at WSB Radio, I've been honored and had the opportunity to interview presidents, heads of state, Hall of Fame athletes, but no interviewee has made my wife more excited than the one joining us right now. He is actor and now author, Peter Facinelli. Peter, welcome to the Mark Arum Show.
Oh, thank you. What an introduction. Thank you.
Mark, you don't understand the level of crush that my wife has on you. She literally screamed when I told her you were coming on the show.
Oh, from what? What did she like? What did she?
Can't Hardly Wait. Her favorite movie of all time.
I'm always curious because I never know. I'll get people come over and be like, I love Nurse Jackie, or I love Twilight, or I love Can't Hardly Wait. And I'm always curious as to what they connect with.
And of course, I'm sure the younger fans are all about the Twilight series, right?
Yeah, young and old. I mean, I've met people in their 60s and 70s who love that series, and it was such a fascinating, experience and fantastic experience because this one book connected so many people, and I got to experience it firsthand, and it made friends from all over the world. People would be like, "I met my best friend, through the love of this book." And so when I had the idea for this story of After the Red Rain, trying to figure out the best venue to tell the story, and I thought, well, it would make a really good book, and so we did it as a YA novel, and now we have, we partnered up with Little Brown, who did the Twilight series, and now we have this book out, and I'm really excited about it.
So this is your first young adult novel called After the Red Rain. Is this your first writing effort ever, or have you always been a writer?
No. I mean, I've written scripts before, and we've turned them into movies, and I did a comic book, created a comic book called The Orphans with a company called Boom, but this is my first novel, and so it's kind of a daunting task to think, oh my god, I got to, how do you tackle a novel? So I got to partner up with Barry Liga, who's a best-selling novelist of a series called I Hunt Killers, because I wanted to work with somebody that knew that venue really well. And it was such a great collaboration. We it's kind of like musicians riffing, where you kind of just get in a room and you're like, well, what about this? Or no, let's go this way. And so the book takes place in the future. There's like 100 billion people on the planet. And if you think of Manhattan like New York City, the whole planet is like that, just like cement and concrete, and we've kind of lost our way with nature. And this boy kind of wanders into this one territory. There's 100 years of red rain, where this rain that nobody knows why it's red, but whole towns have gone missing and cities have gone missing, and nobody knows why. And the population has now dwindled down to like 50 billion, which is still a lot. And this boy wanders into this one town, and he kind of holds the key as to what really happened. And he kind of partners up with this girl who he falls in love with, and they kind of set forth to seek the truth.
Interesting. We're talking to Peter Facinelli, actor and now published author. His first young adult novel, After the Red Rain, is out. That's some pretty heavy stuff for a young adult novel.
Yeah, well, the two lead characters are 17 years old, so that's why it kind of lends itself to that. But there's underlying themes of bullying. The boy's name is Rose. He gets teased about that, and he's kind of weak looking and feminine looking, but he's a badass, So he has there's a lot of mystery in the book, and it's just a fun world. I mean, it's very visual because of my movie background, I kind of think visually. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's one of those books that you read that you kind of see the movie in your head while you're reading it.
Is this a one and done thing for you, or are you going to keep on writing novels?
Well, if it connects with an audience, I mean, we get to do a second book, which is we were thinking of doing more of the origin stories of what this Red Rain is, because nobody knows what this Red Rain is, and we don't really discuss it fully in the book. But some people think it's the Rapture, some people think it's aliens, some people think it's the government, and it's in a future that's so broken that history, they're not concrete on what their history is, because it keeps changing. They have this thing called the WikiNets, and like every 5 minutes their history changes, so they never know, what their history was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it might be a young adult novel, but as a 41-year-old married dude, I'm kind of into this. I think I want to pick this up, man.
Yeah,
it sounds pretty good.
It's kind of fun. I mean, it's got, like I said, it's got a lot of action in it, too, for the guys, you know.
And while you're doing this, you're also, I'm being told, filming a CBS drama?
Yeah, I'm doing a show called Supergirl on CBS. Airs on CBS in October. And that's kind of fun. I used to read the Supergirl comics to my kids when they were younger. And, you know, I have three daughters, so I wanted to, like, read a comic book to them that had a strong female character that was inspirational. And now it's kind of fun that I get to be on this show, that they're actually doing a live-action Supergirl. And I have to play a great character. His name is Maxwell Lord, and he's a green tech billionaire who is kind of fascinated by Supergirl and her powers. And, you know, he kind of flips from being good to bad, and depending on whose perspective you're looking at. In his world, he's kind of saving the world, you know, through green technology, and these superheroes are kind of getting in his way, you know.
Excellent. All right, wrap it up with Peter Facinelli. The book is After the Red Rain, available at your local bookseller or online, and Supergirl premieres this fall, Monday nights on CBS. Thank you to you, Peter, and you've made my wife very happy. She's actually proud of what I do now.
Oh, thank you very much.
Best of luck, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Mark, I'm with you till 12. Tomorrow on the show, I'm trying to corral John Spink, award-winning photographer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Dude is an amazing photographer and a hilarious guy. I'm trying to have him on the show tomorrow, so cross your fingers. He'll be able to join us. Tonight we're discussing board games, and are they declining in American culture? Are families still playing board games, even though the internet's here, and PlayStations, and iPads, and iPhones, and Androids, and all that stuff? And we are trying to come up with a board game to sponsor the national championship. So WSB's Mark Arum Show presents the national championship of Connect Four, Operation, Life, Trivial Pursuit, whatever. We're trying to come up with a national tournament that we can sponsor. Chuck, Life. Is there a national Life tournament?
There wasn't.
So that's a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, there's some little random tournaments where they just try to throw something together.
But can do the Life one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
See, I wanted to be able to, a game that most people know how to play.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure this Settlers of Catan is amazing, but there's two or three Mark Arum Show listeners that know about this game.
Right.
Life, everyone's played Life, I'm assuming. Everyone's played Connect Four, Operation. I think Operation would get a little too crazy.
Yeah. I still like Battleship.
Maybe Battleship. Longoria, you got a favorite yet?
Battleship, I think so. I think Battleship would work.
All right, we'll see. Josh is in Douglasville. Josh, you're on the Mark Arum Show.
How you doing, man?
What up, Joshua?
Not much. My roommate and girlfriend and I have game night.
Okay.
So we put in an old board game and play it. I used to play when I was younger an Israeli version of Monopoly.
An Israeli version of Monopoly?
Yes. Everything had what there was actually topic on now, the Gaza Strip and Jerusalem.
No, there was not. Really?
Yes, there was.
Wow.
Yes, this would have been early 90s. When the game came out, and it was Israeli Monopoly.
Hold on, I'm gonna find if that's on eBay, I'm gonna buy it. Israeli Monopoly, not as entertaining as Jewish Clue, but
yes, but pretty close. You know, I kind of figured with Jewish Clue, it would be, you know, Mrs. Reinkopf killing the butler with a bagel,
killing the
something,
killing the tutor with the
you know.
The candles. All right, Israeli Monopoly. There it is. Hot damn. $50.
You know? And then everything was in shekels. All the money was shekels.
Shekels. That's funny. All right. I appreciate it, Josh. I'm gonna try to buy that. I'm not paying $50 for it, but I'll try to buy that online. Bill's in Buckhead. Bill, always a pleasure. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark. What a great topic. And real quickly, you might ought to consider maybe on another Thursday a card game. Because that goes pretty deep.
What's your favorite card game of all time?
I always think about playing with the kids. Go Fish. I mean, I had some hilarious moments with my nieces with that. And by the way, you know, everybody's mentioned The Usual Suspects here, Monopoly and Pictionary and Clue. Mm-hmm. Fond family memories of doing that, and along with Trivia Pursuit on family vacations and let it. But I'm going to go back to a couple of, you know, people that have kids and maybe grandkids will remember maybe Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah, I used to love that game.
And let me tell you, I'll never forget, I could run it like a movie in my brain, my two adorable nieces opening at Christmas a game called Hungry Hippos.
Hungry Hippos.
Oh, yeah.
Before the paper was off the thing, they knew what it was.
One of my favorite moments in WSB radio was during Clark's Christmas Kids one time, and I was filling in for Captain Herb and the Chopper. And
okay.
All right, so I'm doing the traffic during Clark's Christmas Kids, and Dave Baker is out at the Walmart with Clark. And Clark says to me, "Mark, you know, what's a game do you think would be good for a 6-year-old kid?" And I'm in the chopper, I'm in the helicopter, and I go, you know, I think Hungry Hippo would be a great game for kids. And Clark's like, "I never heard of that." And I was like, "Holy cow, you've never heard of it." So I do the traffic report, we go to commercial, and then we're coming back from commercial, they pot up the mics at Walmart, and Dave Baker is still trying to explain to Clark Howard what Hungry Hippos is. He's like, no, they're not real hippos, Clark. They're plastic things. And you put.
I mean, I didn't know. And so I'm throwing that out as maybe a...
Hungry... Yeah, I don't know. That'd be a tough one to judge. I remember Hungry Hippos kind of being like a free-for-all, but thanks for bringing that up, Bill. I had totally forgotten about that game. Hungry Hippos. Yeah, Longoria loves Twister. Play that with your wife still, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Naked Twister every once in a while.
Naked Twister.
That's the best.
I don't want to see that.
I make her fall just on purpose so she has to take off all her clothes.
Oh, jeez. You push her over.
Yeah.
I had to have played Twister at some point in my life, but I just can't remember now if I was any good at it. Probably not. I'm not very flexible. I've got really short hamstrings.
But you were an athlete back in the day.
Yeah, I was a Division I athlete, and I've never in my entire life been able to touch my toes.
Are you serious?
Can't, because I have really short hamstrings. The doctor's like, "You have short hamstrings. You'll never be able
to
touch your toes."
Doctor did not tell you I'm short. Yeah, you are so full of it. Full.
I promise you.
He said stretch and work on it, and you could touch your toes.
Listen,
he didn't go, "Look,
listen,
your hamstrings
ass
are
clown,
too short."
I was a Division I athlete, and I
so
couldn't touch
I.
my toes.
I could touch...
You I can't even
this.
Get
it's
like mid shin.
Really?
It's just embarrassing.
That's embarrassing. I can flat hand the ground.
Yeah, like,
I can.
I can flat hand to my knees.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
It's because I have short hamstrings. All right, we're coming back. I'm going to tell you the top 10 board games of all time. I've got ZZ Top tickets to give away. We'll be right back. This is the Mark Arum Show, and I cannot touch my toes.
Yo, this is Jamie Foxx, and you're listening to my man, Mark Arum.
Discussing board games tonight on the show, are they still active in American culture, or are they dying? 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Lisa's up next on the Mark Arum Show. Hello, Lisa.
Hey, how are you?
Great. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. This sounds like a boring game compared to some of the other ones that were been spoken about, but I grew up with the game, if you remember, Aggravation.
I know the name. I do not remember the game, though. What was it about?
It's with marbles around the board, and you have 6 marbles, and you've got to get them from your home to your...
Oh, yes.
The one in the middle. Well, let me tell you, my great uncle built this board. Usually the boards that you get from the stores just have like six people. He built a board out of plywood that held 12 different marbles.
Oh, that's like next level stuff right there, Lisa. That's...
Oh, my gosh. The whole family would get together, and this game would go on for hours.
I'll have to check that out. Aggravation. I barely remember the game, but I do remember it. My mom texted me and scolded me out. She said I did have Simon as a kid. It was a round electric circle.
Yeah, you don't remember Simon?
Now I do. Now that my mom...
And you just had to, like, it would go boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, exactly. Now I do remember it. Gene's in Noonan. Gene, you're on the Mark Arum Show.
Hey, Mark. Good show tonight.
Thanks, Gene.
My family does play board games, but the primary game it plays is dominoes, and we can get the old people and the young people involved in that.
Games.
But my husband had a great idea. He said, let's do a fundraiser where Atlanta can't live without Brady, Georgia can't live without WSB, so let's do a fundraiser that involves a little bit of manual dexterity and play Operation.
Wow, I forgot about Operation.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That might be
like Operation.
A tough game to judge, though.
Naked Twister in there with that. And we've got manual dexterity, and if it's a slow night at Grady and the age group is right, there could be a lot of extra business.
I like
Grady.
The fundraising aspect of that. I do. Check Low-T while we got a break for news. Thanks for the call, Gene. That's a great suggestion. See if there's a national operation tournament. That'd be tough. That'd be noisy. I sucked at that game. I was so bad at that game.
Really?
Which is why I'm not a doctor today. My parents are like, all right, you're not.
I like that.
You don't have the hands for operation. All right, we're going to come back after news, weather, and traffic. Soy Sauce, Pete, Holly, Matthew, and Mimi will join us, and maybe you if you call now. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK on Twitter, at Mark Arum, M-A-R-K-A-R-U-M. This is The Mark Arum Show.